When evangelist Vance Havner was in his mid-30s, he developed a troubling nervous disorder. Previously, he had been critical of people who were experiencing the same condition. He said, "For 2 years, I suffered from nervous exhaustion, and I learned not to laugh at nervous people. How easy it is to make light of the difficulties others face until we experience a similar problem. In God's school, we learned to sympathize with a variety of sicknesses we thought shouldn't affect Christians." I think there's a lot of that out there today. They think when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, life's going to be peachy. It is, in a way. But you know what? The Bible tells us we're going to have tribulation, as we saw last week. We learn quickly that God doesn't always deliver us quickly and easily, sometimes from such conditions. And I wonder why that is. That's what brought me on to this sermon here. As I read scriptures in 2 Corinthians, Paul was a person of great faith, but his thorn in the flesh remained with him in spite of his repeated pleas for God to remove it. Now, you would think if God would remove it from anyone, he would have done that for Paul. Paul learned to welcome the resulting weakness that led him to find strength in Christ. Paul, because of his affliction, had earlier urged the Christians in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Through the emotional and physical problems that God allows in our lives, we should learn what it means to trust the Lord. And in the process, we should learn patience and kindness towards all. I read this, I liked it, it made me laugh. Everybody has problems, we really do. As someone said, everyone has a problem, is a problem, or lives with a problem. I did not ask my wife, I don't want to know. Our problems, you know, vary in type and severity. There's financial problems, health problems, relationship problems, as well as problems of guilt, temptation, failure, stress, the list can go on. The point is that if you are a Christian this morning, you are not exempt from painful problems, and the fact of the matter is, you may often have more problems than the non-Christian, because Satan, the evil one, tries to derail our spiritual lives. And that brings me to John chapter 16. Look at verse 33, if you would, with me. "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I wrote here, the purpose of this discussion with the disciples was that they might have peace, even when they would be hated, pursued, persecuted, falsely condemned, and even tortured. They could have peace in Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus overcame the world at the cross of Calvary. So in spite of their tribulations, their problems, their troubles, they could rest assured that they were on the winning side. Isn't that wonderful, folks? No matter what, if you're a born-again Christian today, you're on the winning side. We are. Praise the Lord for that, right? Even though we may not feel like it today, we are in the end. In the end, we'll be with the Lord in heaven. Praise the Lord. I wrote here the Greek word translated tribulation. I circled that in my Bible. It means pressing or pressure that burdens our spirits. It refers to severe affliction or anguish. So in other words, you know what Jesus is saying here? In this world, we will have big time troubles, big time problems. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Keep your finger in John. Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, Paul writes about all kinds of problems in verses 35 and 36. He writes about tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, and death. And that, what does he write about these problems in verse 37? That's the one I wanted to read. In verse 8, chapter 8, verse 37, he says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." I like that. We're not only conquerors, we're more than conquerors. It is not simply that we triumph over these nasty evil forces, but in doing so, we bring glory to God. We bring blessing to others and good to ourselves. We make stepping stones out of our roadblocks. I like that. We make stepping stones out of our roadblocks. But all of this is not through our own strength. If you want to try to get through this within your own strength, you're wasting your time because you cannot do it. Only the power of Christ, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, only the power of Christ can bring sweetness out of bitterness, strength out of weakness, triumph out of tragedy, and blessing out of heartbreak. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? Well, conquerors defeat their enemies. If we are more than conquerors, we will make enemies of our make our friends enemies. Excuse me, got tied up there. What do we mean by making our friends, our enemies, friends? That's an interesting statement. God, understand this. God can cause even our worst problems to be beneficial. Huh. I can see under your mask you're sticking your tongue out at me. I know you don't believe it, but it's God's honest truth. God can cause even our worst problems to be beneficial if we'll let him make good come from them. Romans 8:28, I think this is a verse that's misused quite a bit, but I like it. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." God is working all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. It may not always seem so. Sometimes when we are suffering heartbreak, tragedy, maybe disappointment, frustration, or maybe bereavement, we wonder what good can come out of it. But the following verse gives the answer. Whatever God permits to come into our lives is designed to conform us to the image of his Son. When we understand this, and I hope you will today, I hope you understand this, it takes the question mark out of our prayers. Our lives are not controlled by impersonal forces such as chance, luck, or fate. You know what? I don't believe in any of those. I really don't. I had two doctors tell me that I was really lucky they caught that tumor on my pancreas as quickly as they did. I said, I don't believe in luck. I believe the Lord allowed them to find it. They don't like it when you say that, but that's the truth. It's the truth. It really is. And you know what? God let them find that tumor for some reason. I was very discouraged about that for a while. But you know what? He knows what he's doing. I don't. And I'm trusting him. Let me repeat this. Our lives are not controlled by impersonal forces such as chance, luck, or fate, but by our wonderful personal Lord, who is too loving to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake. You know what? I'm grateful that everything that comes into my life goes across his desk first. I've said that many times. I'm very, very grateful for that. He also tells us he will not send us any more than we can stand. I said that to a pastor that called on me at the hospital the last time I had cancer. And he said to me, Ron, maybe God knows you can take more than you think you can. I was like, I don't want to see you no more. And we both laughed. But you know what? God knows what we can take, and he's not going to send anything more than we can handle. So, why does God allow problems in our lives? Well, in at least four ways. I'm just going to share four ways with you this morning that's helped me. And I'd like you to write them down. There's a sermon outline on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to take notes. There are just four things I'd like to share with you. First of all, he allows problems in our lives to direct us. C.S. Lewis wrote, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts to us in our pain. I like that. God uses problems to get us back on track or to keep us on course. Psalms 119:67 is a good memory verse. It really is. Psalms 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Everything worthwhile in life costs something, whether it's money, time, commitment, service, or payment by some other means. The same is true with Christian growth, with Christian maturity and godliness. It's interesting that we are quick to say that we want to grow as believers, and I hope that's each one of your desires as Christians, that you want to grow spiritually and be more like Christ. We say that we want to mature and become more like Christ. But do we truly understand the price it requires? Some very important spiritual lessons can only be learned through suffering, unfortunately. If it is true that Christ, God's perfect Son, learned obedience through suffering, how much more is it true of us sinful human beings? If you need a verse to back that up, Hebrews 5:8, if you want to mark that down. If you're taking notes, point A is, God often uses problems to direct us, to keep us on track spiritually. Again, the Apostle Paul writes of God allowing him to have a thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming exalted above measure because of his abundance of revelations, 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul doesn't say what the thorn in the flesh was. Whatever it was chronic and it was severe. Paul prayed three times for God to take that thorn away. I think God didn't want Paul to tell us what the problem was, because if we had that same problem, we'd be tempted to say, I'm suffering just like Paul. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. A lot of people have a lot of speculation about that. But we do know how God answered his prayer. What was God's answers to Paul's request? 2 Corinthians 12:9, if you're taking notes. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Paul says here, God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming arrogant. God knew Paul was going to be the greatest of all the apostles. Through Paul's three missionary journeys and 13 epistles that make up almost half the books of the New Testament, he would do more to spread the gospel than anyone else who had ever lived. So God uses Paul's thorn in the flesh to direct him away from pride and arrogance. B, if you're taking notes, God often uses problems to direct us away from sin. It can be to direct us away from someone who may be a temptation, or to direct us away from a bad decision. on a regular basis, we should pray Psalms 119:35. Turn there if you would, please. I'd like you to look at that. I'd like you to read it with me. Psalms 119:35. It says, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." We should pray for guidance. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we want the Lord to guide our feet in the path of his will. That's a good prayer. Is that your desire today, to walk in the path of God's will? Because that is the only way in which you and I as a Christian will ever be truly happy. You know, people want to be happy today, and they shove in their little spot that's only made for God. They shove all kinds of things, and they're not happy. So, God allows us to have problems to direct us. Secondly, God allows problems to inspect us, to inspect us. Someone said, Christians are like tea bags. I like this. You don't know what's in them until they get into some hot water. That's really the truth. It really is. Problems are really just tests to reveal what kind of Christians we really are and to prepare us for heaven. Do you ever think about that? That Jesus Christ is trying to prepare us for heaven? In 1 Peter 1:6, would you turn there, please? I'm going to have you jump around a little bit this morning. I'm sorry about that. 1 Peter 1:6. Peter writes that we are going to have various trials. He says in verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." The word translated trials here means putting to the test. So then what does he tell us is the purpose of our problems? Well, look at verse 7, if you would, please. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter compares the testing of our faith through problems to a refining of gold in his day. As you know, gold is heated. As gold is heated, impurities float to the surface and can be skimmed off, leaving only pure gold. In the same way, the heat of problems in our lives causes our impurities and defects to come to the surface. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things in Jeremiah 17. So we might not even recognize our own impurities when they surface. So when we have problems, we need to pray and ask the Lord to show us our impurities. Don't do that, folks, if you don't want to know. But I think you should want to know because you want to get them out of your life. You do. You want to be as most effective that you can be for the Lord in these days that we're living in. I'm not sure we're going to be here a whole lot longer, folks. The opportunity may come to an end. Psalms 139:24. Do you know that verse? David wrote it. It's a good prayer. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David invited the Lord to go beyond his words and deeds to probe the innermost parts of his being. He wanted God to know his heart, his feelings, his intentions, and his motives. Along with that, David asked God to try or test him so that he would even know his thoughts. To try something is an expression used of refining metals for the purpose of purifying and proving them. David desired that God thoroughly examine him to prove that he was pure within. Anxieties speaks of thoughts or concerns, the troubling thoughts that stir a person inwardly. David does not specify what these troubling thoughts were, but he asked God to reveal them. Because God is our spiritual goldsmith who allows all kinds of trials that bring our sins and our spiritual weaknesses to the surface so we can confess them and let him skim them out of our lives. I wrote here, it's not a fun process. It's really not. No one likes to see their shortcomings. God's word is like a mirror. As you look into God's word each and every day in your Bible study, I hope you're studying God's word each and every day. It's a mirror. It shows us. It shows us what we need. If we didn't look in the mirror on Sunday morning, you wouldn't want to look at me up here in the morning. My hair sticks out all over the place. And then Jean gets me groomed up and I'm okay. You can thank her. My tie matches. I would wear my favorite tie with my favorite shirt. I wouldn't care if they matched. It's not a fun process. But you know what, folks? It's well worth it. It really is. So God allows us to have problems, to direct us sometimes, to inspect us sometimes, and thirdly, to correct us. Turn to Jonah, if you would. I'd like you to look at that too. Jonah. We all sometimes get off course and act like the prophet Jonah, whom God tells to go to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and preach to the people about their wickedness. Jonah 1, verse 2. Nineveh is to the east, but Jonah gets on a ship and sails west, the opposite direction of God's purpose for his life. During Jonah's Mediterranean cruise, the Lord sends a mighty storm that threatens to wreck the ship. Verse 4. Now are we going to see the worst part of Jonah's sinful condition? Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. The ship is being tossed to and fro, seems about to break into pieces. The sailors are throwing stuff overboard to lighten the load. They're screaming and shouting as they try to control the ship. But Jonah, he's sound asleep. Jonah's sound asleep is an illustration of what happens when we get out of God's will. We become oblivious to spiritual danger, and we do foolish things because we are spiritually asleep. When we as Christians get off course and are content to stay there, you know what, folks? God will send the storm. He'll send the storm to get you back on track. As long as our sins keep us awake at night, that's good. But if we can be disobedient to God's word, as Jonah was, and still go to bed at night and fall fast asleep, we better look out for the mighty storm. God will lovingly send to correct our course. Do you know why God does that? You know what? If we said that out in the world, they'd say, what a mean God we serve. You know what? That's unacceptable. But you know why God does that? Because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you more than anyone. And I praise the Lord for that. God allows us to have problems to direct us, to inspect us, and to correct us. And then lastly, to perfect us. Turn to James chapter 1, if you would, please. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." James tells us to count it all joy when we face all kinds of trials, because they are trying our faith, because the trying of our faith worketh patience. Then what does he say? "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." I circled the word perfect in my Bible. It means to bring to completion or maturity. So to make us perfect or complete, our imperfections are being removed from our character. So God uses our problems to get us ready to be used by Him. The Bible also tells us that God comforts us in our tribulation. And I've read this verse several times in the last few weeks. I'd like to read it to you again. 2 Corinthians 1:4. It says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." God uses our problems, past, present, to shape and mature us so we can serve Him by helping others. So in closing here, I titled this Blessings from Illness. Blessings from Illness. While illness is a hardship every person wishes to avoid, it comes sooner or later upon us all. The Bible teaches that suffering is not to be wasted. Don't waste your suffering, folks. Use it to God's glory. Hudson Taylor said, "What circumstance could have rendered the Word of God sweeter and the presence of God so real, the help of God so precious about a difficult period in his life?" And I agree with him. I do. Some of the most tremendous Bible studies I've had were in the hospital. That's the truth. Several scriptures point to special blessings that can come from periods of illness. I inserted that in your bulletin so you can take that home with you, because I'm not going to read all those scriptures, so you can calm down. We'll be out of here shortly. But these are some of the things that are special blessings from our illness. Awakening of the sweetness of Scripture. Awakening to us the sweetness of Scripture. Psalms 119:50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Illness, problems drive us to prayer. Deepening the prayer lives of others, leading us to spiritual introspection. You know, when things are going good, we don't really give. As a matter of fact, a lot of times people don't even read their Bible when things are going good. But when things start getting a little tough, we go to God's Word. We expect Him to answer our prayers. And you know what? It don't work like that, folks. So sometimes when we have troubles, we start looking inside ourselves and seeing where I need help. Humbling our souls, developing the qualities of patience and endurance in us, developing maturity, becoming more like Christ, enabling us to emphasize and comfort others who will later go through the same thing, heighten our desire for heaven. I like that. Providing an opportunity for us to witness to others. You know what? In both my cancer situations, I've had more opportunity to share Christ with people. I really have. Because God has put me in places that I would have never been. I never would have been without being sick. Do you ever think about that? You have a sphere of influence, and I hope that you're witnessing to that sphere of influence, and I hope you live as Christ. Did you see the sign outside as you leave here? It says you're going into your mission field, and that's the truth. Do you live your life after you leave here Sunday morning for the Lord? Does your light shine? Do people know you're a Christian? Do they know you love the Lord? Or would they go, huh? Really? I didn't expect that. Lastly, to glorify God. To glorify God. God allows us to have problems, to direct us, to inspect us, to correct us, and to perfect us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, He loves us more than we'll ever know. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't go home today without knowing Him. If you're listening on the radio, on the TV today, you know what? You need to accept Christ if you're beating around the bush with that. We don't know. Don got broadsided 2 weeks ago in the car. He could have been with the Lord just like that, but the Lord preserved him. We don't know when our last breath will be. And you know what? I hope you're ready to meet Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord, that our problems and our trials, if we allow that to work through in our lives and accept them, I pray, Lord, I know, Lord, you'll do make right by it, and we'll come out better. We'll come out as gold, Lord, and that we'll be perfected. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll work in each of our hearts. And I pray as these problems arise, I pray that we would deal with them, Lord. And if we need to ask forgiveness for sin, I pray that we would do that. And I pray, Lord, that we would stop fighting it and just trust you, Lord. Thank you for this time together. And as we sing this last song, Lord, and as we go into the business meeting, I just pray, Lord, that everything we say and do will be honored and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.